Today on this edition of Bold Steps Weekend, you'll discover how you can re-envision your life story.
All of us have a calling and a purpose, and sometimes we have glimmers of that purpose inside of our soul. We have a sense of what we're called to do, but sometimes we're not ready to handle the weight of our calling because we have not yet been through the training process that God has taken us. We know it, but we're not prepared for it.
Happy Valentine's Day and welcome to Bold Steps Weekend. Mark Jobe is our Bible teacher, and he's also the president of Moody Bible Institute and the senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. And if you're new to the Bible teaching of Mark Jobe and want to learn more, you can do that when you visit us online at boldstepsweekend.org. Well, some of us have allowed a bad chapter or two to define our life stories, but Mark is here today to remind you that God wants to break you out of that mindset. And as we move forward in our series titled, What Now?, we're going to be looking at how God can reorient our calling and our purpose. Our message is called Re-envision Your Life Story, and here's our teacher, Mark Jobe.
You know, sometimes we allow one chapter in our life to define our entire life story. I've seen it happen over and over again. We have one dark chapter, one bad moment, and suddenly we start believing that that is the rest of our life and that's our destiny. I'll never forget talking to a 21-year-old girl that seemed like she was very distraught. And she came up to me after a service and said, Pastor, can I talk to you? I said, yeah, what's going on? And she just could barely talk. She was so distraught. She was so broken up. I said, what's wrong, honey? And she said, I broke up with my boyfriend. And I said, why? She said, I'm following Jesus and he didn't want to follow Jesus. And I broke up with my boyfriend. And I said, well, I know it's hard emotionally, but I believe that you did the right thing if he wasn't following Jesus, and you'll be okay. And she said, no, I'm not going to be okay. I said, why? What's wrong? And she said, I'll never find anybody else to love in my entire life. I'm going to end up being a single old woman and never find someone to love me or marry me. I said, hold on, honey. How old are you? She said, 21. I said, I think you have plenty of time. But you know, she had let one dark moment in her life, and she was writing a whole book of the rest of her life based on one dark chapter. And in her mind, she was going to be single the rest of her life and would never find anybody to love her, and she would end up alone, and that was the greatest fear of her life. And sometimes we do the same thing. And so I want to talk to you about that, because I believe as we move into our next season, not only do we need to stop and listen to the voice of God, as we talked about last week, and if you haven't listened to that message, you need to listen to it. But we also need to re-envision our life story, but in light of God's perspective. And I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus is the second book of the Bible, right after Genesis. It means to exit, and we're in chapter 2 of Exodus. You need to listen to this message because some of you have done what that girl did, maybe not with a breakup, but you've allowed one bad chapter of your life to start to define your narrative, your entire life story. And some of you are stuck in one chapter, and God wants to break you out of that chapter so that you can re-envision the rest of your life, your calling, your purpose from his perspective. And in order to understand this, I'm bringing your attention to the story of a man that many of us know. He's a famous character in Scripture, a compelling, powerful character in Scripture. His name? Moses. Now, most of you know the story of Moses, but maybe you haven't jumped in and understood how Moses was at one time a broken man that allowed one dark chapter of his life to define a lot of his life. And we're going to jump in chapter 2 of Exodus. And if you're taking notes, I'm talking about how to re-envision your life story. Write this down. Number one, you need to understand this. Don't allow one chapter of your life to define your entire life story. I'm going to read verse 11 in Exodus chapter 2. It says, one day after Moses had grown up, and many of you remember the story of Moses, right? Moses was during a time when the Pharaoh was killing the Hebrew children. The midwives were trying to save the babies. The Pharaoh was afraid that the people of Israel were going to grow too numerous and that they were going to overthrow the Egyptians, and they wanted to maintain them under control. So they engineered a birth control method, especially to eliminate the boys, which were the greatest threat. And so the Pharaoh instructed the midwives that when babies, boys were born, that they would secretly actually kill the babies upon birth, post-abortion killing birth. And the midwives refused to do that, and instead they would start to hide the babies. And so Moses was born during that time, and his mother and his sister actually, after he was born, took him and they put him in a little basket outside and put him in the water because they didn't want the Egyptians to find him. And you know the story. By the hand of God, one of Pharaoh's daughters was bathing and actually heard the cry of a little baby, and it happened to be Moses. And I guess Moses was a really cute baby. By the way, I just became a grandfather, and man, my little grandson, Finn, he is a cute baby. I mean, he is one stocky little guy. He's 4 months old, and he's 20 pounds already. I mean, my wife was saying, I don't know why my back hurts me lately, and I said, I know, you've been holding your grandson. But I imagine Moses kind of that cuteness, that kind of cute. And so the Pharaoh's daughter took him in, and although he was a Hebrew, a son of a slave, he was adopted into a kingly family. Why? Because God had a purpose and a plan. This was all the orchestration of God. And he was raised in the Pharaoh's household as he was, as though he was a son of a king, and he was educated and trained in the ways of the Egyptians. And for all practical purposes, he thought that he was an Egyptian and functioned that way until one day he discovered actually that his roots were not Egyptian, that he wasn't the son of a Pharaoh, but he was actually the son of a Hebrew slave. We kind of jump into that story in Exodus chapter 2 where he begins to discover his roots and he begins to understand and know, listen, that God wants him to be a liberator, but he doesn't know what to do with his calling. Exodus chapter 2 verse 11 says, one day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were, the Hebrews, and watched them at their hard labor. He's finally discovering, hey, these are my people, and look how they're treated. They're abused, and they're whipped, and they have no rights, and they're subjugated, and their children are killed. And he realizes, I am they. The Bible says, and he watched them in their hard labor, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. And suddenly, that liberator, that calling upon his life emerges. He knows that he's called to set the people of Israel free, but he doesn't know what to do with it. And so the Bible says that looking this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and he hit him in the sand. Now, here's what I want you to know about it. I want you to understand that he had a sense of calling and divine purpose, but had not yet been prepared to handle the weight of his calling. Oh man, I'm talking to someone here. See, so all of us have a calling and a purpose. And sometimes we have glimmers of that purpose inside of our soul. We have a sense of what we're called to do, but sometimes we're not ready to handle the weight of our calling. We're not prepared to handle the weight of our calling because we have not yet been through the training process that God has taken us. Now we sense it. We know it, but we're not prepared for it. I believe that's what happened to Moses. And listen to this. This is important. He tried to fulfill his purpose in the power of the flesh. He tried to fulfill his calling in his own power. And so he went out and he killed the Egyptian that was beating a Hebrew slave. Why? I believe because inside of him he knew, I've called to liberate, but he didn't know what to do with his calling, and he tried to fulfill his calling in the power of the flesh. Can I tell you something? So many of us that have a sense of calling upon our life, oftentimes we try to fulfill our divine purpose with fleshly strength. And it always backfires. I see it over and over in Scripture. And I've seen it actually in my own life. I'll never forget when I was starting to pastor. I was 21 years old. And to be honest with you, I couldn't really see myself as a pastor. I wasn't sure that I was cut out to be a pastor. I knew I loved God and I knew I wanted to serve God. But I wasn't sure that I had what it takes to be a pastor, actually. And so at the age of 21, I wasn't even married yet. I was engaged with my wife. I started at this little inner city church in back of the yards neighborhood, southwest side of Chicago. By the way, I was the worship team. I was the worship team. I was the janitor. I was the set up chairs guy. I was the preacher. I was the men's group leader. I pretty much was a lot of things in that little small church of 18 people. And I jumped at the ministry and I felt like, okay, I'm going to throw myself into this. And I worked, I got up early and I met needs and I counseled. I was meeting with married couples and I wasn't even married. And I was evangelizing and discipling and trying to fix the building up and do the worship team and lead small groups. And I was doing pretty much everything I knew how to do. And about 3 months into that, I landed flat on my back. I was sick. I didn't have insurance. And I went to the doctor, my grandmother's doctor, and the doctor checked me out. And he said, son, you're just straight up exhausted. And he said, you need to rest. And I'll never forget how discouraged I was. I said, no, you don't understand. I'm a pastor. The people need me. I need to get up and preach this Sunday. He said, I don't care what you are. You need to rest. And I remember laying on that flowery couch of my grandmother's house, sick, discouraged, feeling like I don't know if I'm called to ministry. I've seen very little fruit. Nothing's really happened. And as I kind of moaned before God and had a self-pity party, I sensed that the Spirit of God spoke to me clearly that I was trying to do His work in the power of my own flesh. And it was a rebuke to me. And God let me know clearly, this is my work, not yours. You are not the Messiah. I am.
This is Bold Steps Weekend. You're listening to the Bible teaching of Mark Jobe. We'll jump back into the second half of today's message in just a moment, so please stay with us. Did you know that in addition to this weekend program, you can hear Bold Steps each weekday? Catch Mark's bold and passionate teaching on the radio, over the internet, or through the popular Moody Radio app. To learn more, just go to boldstepsweekend.org. And while you're there, don't forget to sign up for our free email devotional. It's called the Bold Stepper Weekly. It's designed to help you start the week off with a timely dose of inspiration straight from the desk of Mark Jobe. Sign up online at boldstepsweekend.org. Now, let's return to today's message on how to re-envision your life story.
And I had to repent. And I remember getting on my knees in the basement of my grandmother's house and crying out to God and say, God, forgive me for trying to do your work in the power of my own flesh. I release it to you. And I vow before you that I'll do anything, everything in my power to make sure that you're the center of it all and that I do it in the power of the Spirit and not the power of my own flesh. That was a turning point. That little church after that began to grow, and we saw some extraordinary things, but it had to come. When I realized I can't fulfill my calling in the power of the flesh. So I want you to know that sometimes we have these bad chapters in our life, these breakdown chapters in our life, these failure chapters in our life. The Bible tells us that after this, people found out that Moses had killed an Egyptian, and so the Pharaoh found out about it, and Moses had to leave everything that he had. He had to leave his people, he had to leave his prestige, and he had to run and flee into the desert. And so he fled into the desert, leaving everything behind, because it was a dark chapter. He had murdered someone, and it was a failure chapter of his life. To Moses, it appeared that, well, his calling was over. It appeared that what God had intended for him now was gone. He was in the desert, far from his people, far from Egypt, far from influence. In verse 21, it says, Moses agreed to stay with the man. He met a man, and like happens a lot of time, he met a woman. Her name was Zipporah. And he married Zipporah, and Zipporah gave him a son. And Moses named his son Gershom, saying, I've become a foreigner in a foreign land. I love the way that Dwight L. Moody talked about Moses. He said, Moses spent the first 40 years thinking he was a somebody. He spent the second 40 years learning he was a nobody. And he spent his 40 years and the rest of the 40 years discovering that God can do something with a nobody. I like that. So here's what I want you to know. After a terrible chapter in Moses' life, he felt like a failure. He leaves his calling. He leaves any aspiration of a calling and a purpose. And he becomes the most lowliest thing that an Egyptian could become. He becomes a shepherd of sheep. And not only does he become a shepherd of sheep, but he becomes a shepherd of sheep of his father-in-law. He didn't even own his own flock. And for 40 years, yeah, 40, he's out in the desert, far from Egypt, far from his people, far from his call. God is humbling him. He's learning hard work. He's learning what it means to be married, what it means to be a father. All that haughtiness that he had, all that expectation that God could use him, all that fleshly strength that he had is being brought to nothing as he's being humbled in the desert over a long period of time. And the Bible tells us in Exodus that Moses was tending the flock of his Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness. And we understand that he has had to let go of his dreams because he's allowed one chapter of his life to redefine him. Now, I want you to notice that sometimes when God is preparing us, he's got to humble us. He's got to break us. He's got to bring character out in us. Sometimes the weight of our calling can't be carried by the weak legs of a flimsy character. He's got to bring humility to our lives. He's got to prepare us in the desert, in seasons where it looks like we have no prominence, in seasons where we're learning just straight up obedience and perseverance, where God is teaching us things about humility and what it means to trust him even during times of dryness in the desert. I believe that's what God was doing to Moses. Secondly, I want you to write this down. So first of all, don't allow one chapter of your life to define your whole life. Secondly, sometimes we have to step towards the encounter that exposes you to God's greatness and redefines your story. So imagine this. Moses is out. He's 40 years into this. By the way, Moses is about 80 years old now. 80 years old. He's a shepherd of sheep, and it's a dirty job, and he doesn't even own his own flocks, and he's gotten used to it day after day. His aspirations are gone. Maybe he feels the tinge of my people are still suffering. The Hebrews are still there. At one time I had a calling, but I don't think I have it anymore. And the Bible tells us in chapter 3 of Exodus, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. We also know that mountain as Mount Sinai, which later would become the mountain that was considered the holy mountain. But up until that time, it wasn't. And there it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? The Bible says in verse 4 of Exodus chapter 3, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Now this was an encounter. And I just want to talk to you about this encounter that redefines Moses' life, because it's an important encounter. And I believe that at times we have to walk towards the encounter that will redefine our lives. God had to reintroduce himself to Moses. Moses didn't even own sheep of his own. And God interrupts his life. The Hebrew suggests that this was his habitual occupation, that Moses was at 80 years old, an obscure shepherd with very humble mindset. There was no aspiration of doing anything great anymore, although he had a past where he felt like he was called. I want you to notice what God does, because it's real important. He comes to a mountain, Mount Sinai, which probably means desert. And as he's shepherding the flock, he sees in the distance a fire. And as he looks at this fire, it's a bush that has a flame, but it's an unusual flame, because normally a bush will be set on fire and then the flame will start to dwindle down as the branches are consumed. But this was a different kind of fire. This fire kept burning and burning and burning, and the brightness did not go down, and it attracted Moses' attention. I want you to see something. I believe that supernaturally, by God's Spirit, that Moses could have walked away from the burning bush, or he could have walked towards the burning bush. I believe that the Spirit of God drew him towards the burning bush. He walked towards his encounter. Now, we don't always know what God is doing, and we don't always understand what God is doing, but I believe that there's something inside of every called person, every woman of God that has the Holy Spirit, that draws us towards the God encounter. The Bible says that Moses walked towards this God encounter, towards this burning bush, and this burning bush revealed something about God. It's what the theologians call a theophany, a manifestation of the pre-existing Christ, a physical manifestation of God. God is spirit, but the burning bush was a physical manifestation of God. The angel of the Lord was in that bush, and fire, a consuming fire that never ended, was burning in that bush. And I want you to understand what happens at that burning bush, because I believe that some of you, God is calling you to walk towards that encounter, because some of you are experiencing, or have experienced, or will experience your own burning bush experience.
You're listening to the Bible teaching of Mark Jobe, and this is Bold Steps Weekend. Drawing near to God is something that all of us would like to do, but sometimes we're just not sure how to move forward. So we find ourselves asking, what now? Well, that's a great question. And it's also the title of our latest Bold Action Gift, written by Mark, that perfectly complements this study. Learn how to move into your next season while addressing the common struggle of complacency that we all feel. Whether it's with our jobs or in our communities, we all want to be doing what we're called to do, even though for one reason or another, sometimes that's tough. So get the tools today that you need to identify and claim the plans of God for your life. The book is our way of saying thanks for supporting the ministry of Bold Steps Weekend with a gift of any amount. And none of this would be possible without the support of those who give generously. So as God moves you to give this year, we welcome and encourage your support. To give a donation today, just call us at 866-535-5580. Again, that's 866-535-5580. Or go online and give when you go to our website, boldstepsweekend.org. Now, you can also send your generous financial gifts in the mail. Address your envelope to Bold Steps Weekend, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Once again, that's 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Well, that's all the time we have today. I'm Wayne Shepherd, inviting you to join us again next weekend, where we'll see how an encounter with God changed Moses' identity and how an encounter with God today can change yours, too. Our message is titled, Re-Envision Your Life Story, and it's coming up next week, right here on Bold Steps Weekend. Bold Steps Weekend is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.